Hello and welcome to Texas Scribes. This program features the prose and poetry of writers from Northeast Texas and around the Lone Star State. I'm your host, Mark Haslett. Today we'll be hearing an excerpt from Go Down Looking, a novel by Jim Ainsworth of Commerce. It's the story of Jake Rivers, a young man whose search for self leads him across rural Texas. Last week, we heard an excerpt from Go Down Looking in which young Jake ruefully took leave of his adopted home in the Texas Panhandle. That part of the story was based on Ainsworth's own experiences at a similar age. Ainsworth shares his experience of how a young boy from the thickets and soft green prairies of Northeast Texas came to love the high, dry, windy Panhandle.
I spent my coming-of-age years there, the years when you first start driving and dating and going through the things that boys and girls go through. And I had a wonderful time out there. I found that the people of the Panhandle were descended one generation away from pioneers at that time. I mean, that place was unsettled 50 years before we got there, and it wasn't that long ago. So they were all risk-takers. They were all acceptable, and it was a free spirit kind of place, much more open, I would say, than the East Texas environment I grew up with. And of course, I love East Texas, too, and I've chosen to live here the rest of my life. But I had a lot of experience there. I experienced a little bullying when I got out there, but I made some really great friendships, and I learned a lot of things about farming and, you know, just came into becoming a young man when I was there.
And now, Go Down Looking by Jim Ainsworth, read by the author.
By day's end, the boards that had been the back porch were stacked on a lowboy trailer, and nails pulled from the boards were deposited in fruit jars and coffee cans. When Jake pulled the trailer loaded with used lumber and nails into what would become a semicircle driveway off Dogtown Road the next morning, anger and skepticism momentarily left him. Rants did have the beginnings of a foundation, even some flooring underway. Leveling strings and chalk lines proliferated. The strong odor of creosoted post filled his nostrils and fixed with the smell of good sand and oak woods. There were stacks of used lumber from the old house. Even used bricks from the caved-in fireplace were scattered between trees. For the first time, Jake believed that there would be a house. He started unloading the lowboy trailer and stacking. By the end of the week, Jake had pulled nails, cut boards to length, and stacked several loads of used lumber at the new home site. With each trip, it felt more real, more like his home. Ranch had not mentioned school, and Maddie had only danced around the issue. Jake was worried and knew that he was falling behind. Tearing down houses was not what he envisioned when he said he would get a job. Of course, he had no vision of all of what he might do in Northeast Texas. There was no cowboy day work, especially for a boy who no longer had a horse and had little skill or experience. The new home site was a bright spot, however. Rance and Maddie had chosen well, and the house to be off of Dogtown Road was surrounded by blackjacks and post oaks. There would be deep, soft well water to drink and bathe in. In spite of himself, Jake had fallen victim to his parents' enthusiastic descriptions, and he began to see his own room in his mind's eye. When they quit before sundown on Saturday, Jake sensed that Rance was softening, that he was winning the battle of wills. There were no words to confirm this, just a few more smiles than usual and a little less abrupt and more patient instructions. They sat in a couple of rickety table chairs under the chinaberry tree. Rance looked east toward Papa Griff's abandoned shack. On Saturday nights, you can take the Ford if you want to and tomcat around. Jake kept his expression blank but felt his heartbeat quicken. Don't know anybody around here anymore. Been to see Papa since you got back? Rance knew where to strike. Nope, I need to do that. Guess I might drive over there tonight. Don't think it's worth it to tear down his old shack. You been in it since you came home? Jake looked toward the shack. The old hay barn blocked his view, but he envisioned the way it had been. No, I guess I need to. Rance stood up and started loading tools. Take me a while to finish up. You'll have time to walk down there. Jake felt smaller as he opened the barbed wire gate, the same gate he always opened horseback. The one he had used to teach Scar had a side pass and stand for horseback gate openings. He had usually carried something for his grandfather in those days, a gallon of fresh milk, a paper sack full of vegetables from the garden, a jar of Maddie's fresh pear preserves. He wished he were horseback again as he stomped through the bitterweeds and milkweeds toward the shack. When he passed the little mud hole where he had fished for crawdads as a boy, he heard the faraway sound of music. The melancholy strains of fiddle and bow drifted through the spring air to Jake's ears like a fluttering moth to a flame. Jake stopped just outside the falling down fence that used to deter cattle from Griffin's River's yard. He looked for signs of movement inside the little house, a source of the music. Must be an old radio, but surely the electricity had been turned off. As he pushed open the little picket wire gate, he was 9 again, eagerly expecting to make a music request to Papa Griff and his friend, Bob Gant. But when he stepped on what was left of the tiny porch, the music stopped. The screen door was gone, the front door ajar. Jake could see all the way through the house to the tiny backyard. He checked for skunks as he entered the empty room where he had spent many hours on a small stool watching his grandfather play, memorizing the words of Roy Acuff, Webb Pierce, and Bob Wills. He had practiced and practiced, but could not imitate Jimmy Rogers' blue yodel. The little shack had fared abandonment better than the big house, but not by much. Possums, raccoons, and rats had had their way with the place. There was no furniture and no material semblance of his grandfather's 14 years of solitary residence there other than a small, broken radio. Jake picked it up and turned the knobs, half expecting to hear the Light Crust Doughboys from KJIM in Fort Worth. Jake realized the music had belonged only to his mind, but he wondered about the old woman in the attic stories his grandfather loved to tell. He fancied that she had been playing a mournful song, lamenting Griffin River's leave-taking. As a boy, Jake wondered if the old woman really had a rocking chair up there. Had she really ironed his grandfather's shirts and cooked his meals? Had they played duets with matching fiddles? And why had Griffin never mentioned his dead wife?
You've been listening to Jim Ainsworth of Commerce, Texas, reading an excerpt from his 2012 novel, Go Down Looking. You can find more information about the book and the author online at jimainsworth.com. This program is Texas Scribes, a weekly show featuring the prose and poetry of writers from Northeast Texas and around the Lone Star State. This program is a production of KETR 88.9 FM in Commerce, and is broadcast on Fridays during Morning Edition at 8:20. Texas Scribes was created by Sherry Gardner. I'm your host, Mark Haslett. You can hear previous episodes of Texas Scribes online at ketr.org.